Danton Conte is an exceptional athlete who lifts extreme weights in deadlifts and in squats, but also performs statics like the Iron Cross or the full planche with ease. In this podcast interview, you will learn a lot about Danton's planche advice and how you can improve your planche workouts. We also talk about how leg workouts help you improve your statics and some nutrition advice to get your statics on the next level.
You're gonna lose your planche then, don't train your legs. And I was like, man, just let me do my thing, man. Don't judge me. If you support me, then, you know, then support me in what I do.
You can already look forward to the second episode coming in 1 week. In the description, you can find again all the chapters of this interview with all the topics that we talked about. Keep growing, guys, and enjoy this interview. Yo, gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider Podcast by Gorilla Nation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is somebody who combines extreme statics like the full planche with extremely heavy deadlifts, squats, and weighted calisthenics. I'm happy to welcome from London, Danton Conte.
Hello. Thank you so much for letting me on this show. I'm looking forward to our interview conversation.
Me too. Everything is good on your side. You're good.
All good, thanks. All good. How are you doing?
I'm good as well. Thank you. I'm also really looking forward to the interview. I think the people who know you are like really interested in your story and your background in your sports career, let's call it, because you're quite a special athlete. When I have to think of somebody who lifts really heavy weights in deadlift and squats and does like a full planche and Maltese, and like you're really strong, and that's why I'm really looking forward to this interview, and that's why people requested you. So yeah, maybe you want to kick off presenting yourself. Who are you? What do you do? How do you see yourself?
So my name is Danton Conte. I live in London, but I was actually born in Ukraine. I'm half Ukrainian and half Sierra Leonean, but I came to London when I was 3 and a half, and I've been living all my life since then. So yeah, I've been doing advanced calisthenics for the past 8 years. But before that, I was doing like various sports. I did like athletics was my main sport. I did like triple jump for a couple of years. I used to represent the UK in triple jump. I was like 7th in the UK at one point in 2012. But then I kind of stopped doing that because I got injured in the knees. Because mm-hmm. it's quite an impactful sport. But that's kind of where my leg strength comes from, is from the athletic background I used to do. And when I was super young, like when I was like 6 years old and above, I did a bit of tumbling, mm-hmm. like a bit of gymnastic tumbling. That's where I did all the flips from anyway. But I did that for a few years, but my main sport was athletics. So sprinting, triple jumping. And so after that, after my career ended in triple jump, I just went to the gym, started doing weights, just general weights like everyone, trying to get big. I was like, 16 when I started lifting weights, like just trying to get big. And then when I turned 17, I came across a video on YouTube, Hannibal for King. He's a guy who got me started. So I came across his video. To be fair, my friend showed me his video first, and I was like, oh my days, this guy is crazy. He's hench, he's strong. And I was like, I want to learn that stuff. So me and him, literally, we was in college, just sitting there bored on our laptops, and he came across the video, and I was like, hey, he's like, show Danny, look at this. And I was like, oh, let's give this a go. So every single day after college, we started going like to the park, started doing pull-ups, push-ups, L-sits, just basically copying what he'd done in the video, just copying everything he did. But I kind of picked up things pretty fast because I've been doing advanced calisthenics. I started when I was 17. So that's it's 8 years now. But before that, I've always kind of evolved like push-ups and pull-ups in like my routine from a young age. I've always been doing like basic calisthenics, but I didn't know I was doing it. It was just part of my training. I used to always like work out at home in my bedroom. I was doing like pull-ups, push-ups in my bedroom, like doing core workouts every single day, like every night. So I kind of had a strong base from that anyway. So when I kind of started, literally I just copied everything Hannibal for King done. So I did like muscle ups. I was doing front, like I tried to do like his planche. You know, he does like a leaning forward, bit of banana, but I kind of had that straight away. But then I realized that it was actually bad form. So I looked into like, just watched gymnastic videos and kind of saw how they trained. And I saw, okay, they focus on like form, like attraction, arms straight. So I was like, let me try to focus on doing that. And yeah, that's how it all kicked off, really. Just watching Hannibal for King to get me inspired, doing street workout and then gymnastics as well. Just watch them and just try to perfect the movements. But yeah, that's how I got started.
Wow. So half Ukrainian. This is something that I have to have to talk about because I'm always impressed. Like people, where I think, like for example, the episode with Saibov. Yeah, I thought he's Polish, and then in the interview he said no, he's Ukrainian.
Yeah,
So
he's Ukrainian. Yeah, he's Ukrainian.
there are so many strong athletes in Ukraine. Do you know why?
I think it's just like if you look, if you, even if when I first came across like street worker in Ukraine, like all of them are just strong. Everyone can just plant from Ukraine. Like I think it's part of our DNA, part of our blood. If you're Ukrainian or Russian, you can plant. You get a free plant. You know, out of all the skills that I learned, yeah, plant was my first skill.
Wow.
Like I learned plant before everything. So yeah, just plant was my first one, then front lever, then back lever. But yeah, plant for some reason I learned it pretty easily, pretty quickly as well. But then again, it's because for most of my life I've been doing push-ups, so I had a general great pushing strength. Like people, like beginners who ask me how to get into like calisthenics, like how to get into learn like planching, I always say like you need to be able to do like 50 push-ups like easily, 50, like 50 dips, 30 to 50 dips at least. But I always say like have really good pushing strength, just have a strong base, then start doing like handstand push-ups against the wall just to kind of get the shoulders going. And once you can do like a good 10 assisted handstand push-ups, and I always say that then you start doing planche leans and tuck planches and take it from there. But I always say like you need to have a really strong pushing base. So I spent literally, yeah, since I was 6 years old, I've been doing push-ups a lot. So I think that gave me like a really good head start in terms of advanced calisthenics. So yeah, it's always down to like the basics first. Spend years doing the basic movements, then try the advanced. I always see guys try to learn planche, but they can't even do like 30 push-ups. So I'm like, it doesn't make any sense, you know. So you need to have like the general foundations first, then you then go off to the like it's like any sport anyway. It's like any kind of sport, basics first, then you start to, you know, progress it from there.
True. And when you talk about advanced calisthenics, that's something that I don't hear too regular. What does it mean for you?
So I mean like so advanced in terms of starting skills. So literally 8 years of skill. I've been doing 8 years doing skills, but pretty much most of my life just doing basics.
Okay.
So yeah, that's
So
what I mean. Yeah,
basics is like push-ups from year
push-ups,
six on.
like push-ups, different variations of push-ups, dips, chin-ups, pull-ups, L-sits, core exercises. So just the basic like beginner kind of moves. But I spent like time just perfecting volume, like doing lots of reps for, yeah, like push-ups, trying to get up to like sets of 50, for example, sets of 50 dips, sets of 20 pull-ups. Once I had that, then literally learning the advanced skills. So trying to get a front lever wasn't really too hard, or a planche and so on. If it
Yeah.
wasn't for those, if it wasn't for my youth and my athletics background, it would have taken me a long time to achieve advanced skills. So I definitely I'm thankful for like just yeah from when I was young, like I was always like very energetic. So my parents just got me doing sports from a young age, and I think that's what kind of gave me a good head start in learning skills.
True, because it's quite unusual. You're also quite high, like quite tall, right?
Yeah, I think
How?
I'm like between 178 to 180 centimeters, so like about 5 foot 11, and I weigh like 75 kilos, 75 to 77 kilos. When I like, I prefer to be 74, but it just, my weight goes up and down. It's just, yeah, like between 75 to 77, that's the way I'm, that's my weight.
Okay, and I don't
That's
know,
classed as tall.
did you say in the beginning how old you are?
So I'm 25 years old now.
25.
25
Okay.
years old. Family man, I've got a kid that's nearly 2 years old. You
Wow.
know, so yeah, I feel old. I feel older than I am. Nice,
It's
right?
funny, you're
Yeah.
like the same height as me, the same weight as me, and the same age as me. So yeah,
All
I'm
right,
just
we're both
wondering.
okay.
I'm just missing the Ukraine genetics. This is why I'm not able to do the full planche, I guess. So
Oh, probably that's the secret, man.
nice. So you already told us a little bit about your beginnings in calisthenics and how you got
Yeah.
into your first workouts after seeing Hannibal, after
Yeah.
improving with gymnastics form. Can you maybe fast forward, tell us a little bit the story from your first workout ever to today, to your workouts today?
Yeah, so literally just began just doing only calisthenics, literally only body weight. So my body weight, my advanced calisthenics journey, like when I started doing calisthenics properly, like without nothing else, started in 2014. That's when I started trying to learn planche, all my skills. And I was doing street workout for 2 years. So literally doing freestyle when just, I was always a static guy. I never really enjoyed freestyle. I love statics. I did a bit of freestyle when I competed because you kind of had to, otherwise you don't get no points, you don't win. So from 24, so 2014 to 2016, I was doing freestyle calisthenics and statics. However, from 2016, I shifted over to weighted calisthenics. So 2016 to 2018, I started doing reps and sets. So I started doing weighted calisthenics, so weighted dips, weighted pull-ups, weighted, just everything weighted basically. So I started doing that from 2016 till about 2018, 2019. So I started competing in that as well, because I kind of found that a bit more fair, because you kind of go up against guys who are your weight and it's just strict, like pull-ups, weighted pull-ups with strict form, weighted dips with strict form and muscle-ups and so on. So I did that for a few years. I became UK champion a couple of times as well doing that for my cat. So I was middleweight champion because I actually gained weight. So when I was doing street workout, I was about 70, like what I am now, 74 kilos, 75, around that weight. But then when I did the weighted calisthenics, I put on a lot of weight. I went to like 80 kilos, 81 kilos. But I didn't do as much skill training anymore. I did a bit of statics, but I didn't really maintain it as much. I kind of focused more on the weighted. So I did that for a couple of years because in the UK, like it was quite a big thing. The reps and sets. I'm not sure if anyone knows about the hard hitters before Ranjit, Bachu, Solo, Nero, Theo. Them lot got weight calisthenics started in the UK and it kind of just blew up. So I kind of got inspired by them and just tried to, try to do what they were doing. Even ended up training with them as well, which was an honor for me. So yeah, did that for a couple of years. And then I also started doing powerlifting too, as well as that in, about 2018, I started doing powerlifting. The heavy squats, deadlifts, and so on. Powerlifting. I just wanted to kind of, just I basically wanted to try something new because I also began to work in the gym as well. So right now I'm a personal trainer, and I work in the gym. And working, I used to work in a really big gym. And I think being a trainer, like not everybody wants to do calisthenics. So I have a lot of people that want to do calisthenics, but people also said, oh, like I want to learn how to lift weights, lose just general losing weight, lifting weights. So I thought, let me try to do different training aspects so that way I can then teach it to people. Because if I get someone that comes to me and says, I want to learn how to squat and deadlift, I'm going to be like, I don't even know. I can't do it myself. So I can't really teach you. So I thought, let me try to broaden my own knowledge and try to learn new things and have strong legs. And kind of, I thought, took it from there. So when I started training my legs, I thought, okay, my legs are kind of strong already. So I just, it became a passion. I started going into more powerlifting as well. Started doing the bench press, squat, and deadlift, and yeah, just fell in love with it. But then I also have now gone back to just skill training. So now, right now, to be fair, I do everything now. So I'm doing statics, so mainly statics now, and powerlifting, and I do a bit of weighted calisthenics on the side as well. But right now, I'm training like all three in one go. So statics every day. Most days I train statics anyway. I powerlift about three or 4 days, 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday. Yeah, so I static pretty much every day, including and powerlift like 3 times a week as well, as well as like weight calisthenics too. So yes, yeah, it's all become like a heavy schedule. So it's all just right now. I'm just like I just want to be a complete athlete. I want to kind of inspire people to actually. I mean, I'm not saying you have to like powerlift, but I think it's kind of cool to see someone that can squat and deadlift and bench press and that can also do statics. Because if you see the norm, like there's like a war between. So people that powerlift, they look at us, the street workout, they say, yeah, they can't squat, they can't bench press, they can't deadlift. And then you got street workout that say, oh, if you train your legs, then you can't do statics. And so I'm thinking, okay, let me debunk those. Let me debunk that. So let me be that guy that can do everything. So that's my goal right now, is to just be complete and just enjoy training as a whole, you know? I mean, being a specialist is cool. Like it's fine to just do statics or freestyle reps. But personally, I just want all the gains. I want to be strong in everything. And it keeps me like there's keeps my week going, you know, it keeps me sensible as well. So like I don't overtrain certain things. It's like I train statics 1 or 2 days and I go and train like lower body for example. So I kind of just mix my training up, but I make sure that it helps everything in one go as well. So that's just me. Yeah, just it went from just doing body weight to then a bit of reps and sets, and now it's gone to everything all in one now.
Wow.
So yeah.
And until the point where powerlifting came into your training schedule, you didn't train legs specifically.
No, I didn't. To be fair, like so after athletics, right? So my athletics career ended in 2013, 2014. I didn't train legs at all. Like I just did only calisthenics. Literally in that 3 years, I just did only just statics mainly. Statics, freestyle, statics, a bit of reps. But then, yeah, in 2018, that 3 years into my career of calisthenics, I thought, let me try to train legs again. Let's see if I can still squat, bench press, deadlift. And yeah, I was kind of able to do it already. Like having that background, of course, having explosive legs already. Like I already kind of had like 100 kilo squats and like a deadlift, like 170 kilo deadlift. So I thought, let me take it from there. And let me just try to boost these numbers up. And I do want to actually like one day do like a powerlifting comp just for fun, like a little regional one, just something to put in my resume, just that, that you've done that, you know. It's a good little good achievement to have. So I've been wanting to do that for a couple of years, but it's been up and down. But now everything is back to normal in UK anyway. Lockdown has eased now, kind of. So I'm looking to just, yeah, focus on powerlifting and calisthenics and eventually just, yeah, compete in powerlifting one day, maybe like in a year or two, you know, see what happens.
Wow. And one question that's, I'm asking myself, are you still able to do 360 today?
360, yeah, I actually can.
Muscle up 360 or something?
Yeah. I know I can, but I don't really do much of the freestyle. I literally just only do statics. Like, I just don't really care about freestyle anymore. I mean, I can, about a year ago, I used to muscle up to a straight bar planche and then like a push-up 360 to a front lever. So I tried that last year and I still had it.
Wow.
So I guess, you see, I found with like anything to do with tricking, like skills, tumbling. Because remember I said I did tumbling from a young age, but then I didn't do that for like 10 years. And then when I did it, I started tumbling like last year, I started doing it again and literally had all my same tumbles that I did.
Wow.
Because it's like muscle memory. It's like, it's a thing where once you've done it before, especially if you've done it for years, it doesn't really go away. Like anything that goes away is your awareness. All you need is one or two sessions back and the awareness is there. It's same with like 360 freestyle. Like the first 360 you might not catch, but the second one, okay, I know exactly where to go. I know when to let go. I know when to kind of see the bar. So yeah, I find with freestyle, it's more of a fear thing. It's not really, like even with tumbling, even with tricking, it's not really too hard. It's just, you have to have the balls to do it.
True.
Like back when I did step like calisthenics, like just freestyle, I was scared to do like all that stuff on the bar. Like I don't mind doing stuff on the floor, like tumbles and flips on the floor, because I know exactly where I am on the bar. I was scared. So I thought, nah, I stick to statics. But then I did a bit of freestyle anyway, just to kind of fit in. But I personally didn't like it. I just wanted to keep it only strength. That's how I see it anyway.
Cool.
But yeah.
In your beginnings, in your first street workouts, calisthenics workouts, what was your goal? Was it the physique? Was it the strength? Was it
My goal was to planche. My goal was to do planche push-ups. That was my number one goal. Like when I saw Hannibal Fekir do his planche push-ups, I was like, I want that. I just wanted to be that guy that can do no-legged push-ups and show off.
Yeah.
So that was my number one goal was how to planche push-up. But it's funny because it took me like, shoulder planche, I learned it extremely fast. But it wasn't clean though. It was bad form because I didn't know any better. I used to watch like, you know, the general USA street workout guys that would just use sheer strength with no technique. So I learned like a planche. So from a tuck planche, I learned a shoulder planche in literally about a month and a half or 2 months. But that wasn't perfect. It was like a piked, slightly bent arm. But I straight away had planche push-ups because I literally learned the wrong way. All I did was, okay, I had a tuck planche. My way of learning planche, even till this day, I always recommend handstand negative down to planche. For me, that was how I learned it. I find for me, that's one of the best ways because the first negative you're always going to do is going to be like, pew, it's going to be super quick. But over time, eventually you're going to learn how to slow it down and eventually catch it into a planche. That's how I learned my shuttle planche and full planche. I learned it by doing negatives. Wow. I also did like from tuck to straddle as well, but I find that when I'm up in a handstand, it's very easy to kind of straddle your legs. So you get into position, then you just lower down and just brace, just literally just squeeze everything, squeeze your whole body and try to hold it. So I just kept doing that, like I kept doing that. And then eventually it just held. And I was like, oh my God, okay, let me film it. And I filmed it. It was a bit high, but then I thought, okay, let me fix it up a little bit. So I filmed, because at first I didn't film nothing. I just kept trying. And you see when you think, oh yeah, I'm doing a planche, but it's actually like a half handstand. So I filmed everything I did and just fixed it from there anyway. I've actually got my first ever video, it's on Facebook somewhere, of my first planche push-ups. It doesn't look too bad. It's a bit packed, it's a bit bent, but it wasn't too bad. So to fix that, it took me about another 2 months just to get it straight and clean. Once I've kind of watched gymnastic videos. But yeah, people that always ask me how to do planche, how to planche, I always say have a good handstand and just lower down from there. Just keep trying to lower down. That's my first way of learning it. And of course, you've got the accessory, like planche leans, you got the frog straddle, like advanced straddle, like advanced frog, sorry, advanced frog straddle planche. Just get used to doing that. But and also I think you need some sort of flexibility in your hips. You need some good hip mobility for straddle anyway. Because the easier you can open your legs, then the more comfortable it will feel, and you won't be like, because I see a lot of guys, they straddle and it's like their legs are bent, and because it's because the hips are tight. So I always kind of recommend like middle splits. If you kind of, I'm not saying be super, I'm not flexible, but have a good level of flexibility. So when you open your legs, it's not too tough. So hip flexors needs to be flexible in the groin. So I did like a lot of middle splits like before my training. So that way when I did a handstand, my legs just went, pew, just opened up nicely. So that's like my tips for straddle planche anyway. For straddle planche, having good open hips and having a good handstand to lower down. I find for me that's like a good way of learning.
Well, you already answered a lot of questions, a lot of useful advice already.
Yeah, of
That's
course.
that's really cool.
I guess people will be asking how to planche this and that. So that's just my tips for straddle anyway. But obviously full planche is a bit different, because like you can have a straddle planche for like 20 seconds. Doesn't mean you're gonna have a full planche. Full planche is a bit different. It's more specific. So what I did for full planche, same thing. I did handstand negatives down to full planche, but I also did like a very advanced tuck. So like you got advanced tuck, but just advance it a bit further, just to work that hip, just to extend that hip a bit more and do like advanced single legs and so on. And eventually just get by just doing attempts and it will just hold. Takes time, of course. Full planche is a different beast compared to straddle, but it's really the same, like same principle, just keep consistent. Like I used to train it, like when I learned it back then, because this was a long time ago. But and it's funny because when I started calisthenics, I was 17, right? I was 62 kilos. I was super light. But yeah, I was like, I thought back then, I thought, yeah, I was hench. Like I was a big guy in school. Looking back, I was skinny. I was just lean and ripped. I was lean and ripped. So I think I was about 62 kg when I learned. So I was 17 years old and I was 62 kilos. And in about 2 years, I went up to 70, 74 kilos. So calisthenics does build muscle, built me muscle anyway. It got me bigger anyway. So I think that might have given me an edge because I was younger, I was lighter. Who knows? But that's how I learned anyway back then.
Wow. And from your first workout ever, calisthenics, to the first good full planche hold, how long did it take?
It did not take me too long, like that, because in about 6 months to get everything to get. So from having a dodgy full planche, about 6 months to get it, even less, I think, about 4 to 6 months to get it decent, to get it like straight, like with locked arms. And about to get it like not per, I wouldn't say perfect. My planche isn't perfect. I mean, it's clean, but I wouldn't say perfect is a very, it's a strong word. Nothing's perfect. But to get it like with decent form, about a year. It took me about a year to get it like with the like with a good hollow body with a nice hold. So like about a year, I had like a very clean 10-second planche with planche push-ups. So a year into my street workout, I learned everything pretty quick. So planche was like my favorite one. And for front lever, for example, like I did the same thing with front lever, negatives, upside down, legs open, coming down. I did exactly the same thing with my planche. I thought, okay, this is front lever planche is two opposites. So I just did the same thing of what I did for my planche anyway. So, but yeah, it took me not too long for front lever anyway. Front lever took me, because I mean, for me, it's easier than a planche, even though a planche is stronger. But front lever didn't take too long. And back lever was the same thing anyway. So for me, it's like anyone that asks me, I always say negatives. Negatives and attempts, those are the two things. And in accessory work, you do like planche leans and and so on, pseudo push-ups just to build shoulder strength. But it's all about negatives and attempts in my experience anyway.
Did you ever feel that your height is a disadvantage?
Never. I actually never ever once complained about my height. Because back when I started, I didn't really know about being tall, being small. I mean, I did know gymnasts were small, but for me, it's like I never really use it as an excuse. Like if I want, like if you want to move, you go get it. Like I've got a client, he's 47 years old, 48 years old. He's 191 centimeters. He's like 85 kilos. He's old. Obviously not old. He's young, of course, but older than most people like that do calisthenics, of course. Like, but I'm seeing a lot of older guys killing it now. It's crazy. But yeah, he took him 2 years to learn front. I've been working with him for 2 years now. Same thing. I started with him doing basics, just pull ups, push ups, just the basic stuff first for the first couple months, and then front lever took him about a year to get. And he's tall and he's older, so I'm looking at him and I'm just like, there's no excuse. His front lever was clean, it's straight at that age as well. So I think obviously, okay, yeah, fair enough. Height is obviously a disadvantage, but work with it. I think I never ever let that get to me. I never ever once, I'm too tall for this. I never. I mean, I'm not exactly tall. I mean, it's like, yeah, you're tall, but I think it's still possible to kind of get the moves anyway. Just don't laugh. Like even me, like right now, people probably, I bet you any money, people have asked, how does he train legs and still maintain his statics? Because I don't let those things get to my head. I see it as, okay, having strong legs, for example, if you've got strong legs, yeah, think about it. When you're doing a static hold, you've got to squeeze your whole body as a unit together, right? You've got to squeeze everything. So you've got to squeeze your butt, your legs, of course, your upper body. So the stronger you can squeeze your legs, the stronger your position is going to be. So I see it as when I got my squat strong and my deadlift strong, I learned a lot more about full body tension. I mean, even from before, from statics anyway, teach you that. But to get a really good form, you need to be able to like have a strong glutes, have strong legs. So what I do when I planche, I literally put my legs together, I squeeze them as hard as I can, I point my toes, and it just keeps me straight. Like I feel solid. So in no way has training legs is impacting my statics. It hasn't. Like I've like people can just say, oh yeah, because his legs aren't really big, but I don't train for size. Like I've never once trained for physique. I just train for performance. So I just literally only do the compound. So I do my squat and deadlifts. I don't really do much accessories. I just do the main lifts and that's what I do. I don't bodybuild. I don't use machines. I don't really like use leg extensions and leg press. Because I find that that's the kind of stuff that might help grow you, like doing high volume on those smaller things, because it's more isolated. But I just focus on compound lifts. So that works the full body anyway. So that's probably how I haven't, I mean, my legs did grow a little bit. Like I've got, like before my legs were very skinny, but now they're kind of, they're shaped. I've got some quads coming out. I've got a big bum now, you know? So, and yeah, it's not affected me at once. Cause I find that people say, how do you balance them both? I just say, you do them both at the same time. Because imagine, okay, if I train legs, yeah, for 6 months, I did no statics and it came back to statics. Yeah, it's gonna feel heavy because I didn't keep up with it. My legs probably would have grown, but they didn't keep up. But if you keep up two together, it's gonna do no harm. But it's just about having a smart program in anyway. We'll talk about obviously how I train in a second, but it's just about planning your sessions properly. So, you know, having a smart program throughout the week so you can maintain both at the same time. Because of course, it's not easy to maintain lifts and statics, but you just got to think about they go hand in hand. Like I'll talk a lot more about that in a second, but literally they do go hand in hand. Like statics and powerlifting, they both help out each other, I think, in my opinion, 100%. A lot of people will disagree with me, but they haven't tried it, so they can't really say anything. You know, if you try it and you see, try it first and then see what happens. You never know, it might help you. I mean, I'm not saying you have to powerlift, you have to train legs, it's not a must, but I think it won't do any harm. Personally, in my experience of lifting weights for years now, I've been powerlifting for a couple of years and I've still managed to advance my statics. They've still gone up, you know? So yeah, I recommend just giving it a try and just having a positive thought. Just think about, okay, stronger legs means stronger statics because you've got a stronger squeeze. Think about it like that and it will make more sense to you. If you actually really think about it will make sense.
Cool. When you say you train for power and not for size, is it the rep range? Is it the weight? Like how? Because we received the question as well. People ask, yeah, how do I train legs without gaining mass? What's
Yeah,
your
so
secret?
I just keep it like, I mean, I do various rep ranges. So I go heavy, but I don't go heavy too frequently because going too heavy all the time just messes you up, like your CNS and your spine. So I go heavy like maybe I go heavy like twice a month, maybe like 3 times a month in a session. But mainly, like I do volume as well. Do I actually do? I do volume. I prefer high volume. But I think, like, if you look at how bodybuilders train legs, they do, like, if you look at their leg day, they start off squats, they do lunges, they do split squats, then they end with machines. They do like five leg exercises in one session. That's probably why they just get big. They don't really train for power. They just train for, so obviously they do things like they do their squats. They don't really lock out their knees. They keep the time under tension. I do that sometimes as well to get a nice pump. But yeah, if you look at my leg session, I just do my heavy squats and then my back offsets. And that's my leg session done. So I just do my squats and that's it. I just focus only on the skill of the squat. So squats only. I don't really go on the machines and pump it out, because I find that's probably what makes people grow, that their legs grow, by doing like the accessory stuff. So they do their compound squats, then they go on to like, yeah, lunges, like walking lunges, Bulgarian split squats, sissy squats, like for high reps. And then obviously the machine, sets of 20 on the machine. I did that at one point, actually. I did do that a couple of years ago when I was heavier. I used to always do like squats and like do add on extra things just to finish up. But now I only just do the squat, do my heavies first, then do my back offsets, and that's my leg session done. And then I got a squat day and a deadlift day. I squat twice a week, I deadlift once a week for now. And I think, like I said, I just focus on strength and some volume, and that's all. So maybe that's probably why my legs don't grow, but they're strong because I focus on the movement and the weight as well. So that's probably the reason why they don't grow, because they don't, yeah, they've not really grown crazy amount, but they've grown, of course. But I think if I did add in accessory stuff, they'd grow more. But since my goal is not bodybuilding, I don't really care. You know, so I just keep it basic. Squats, main squats, that's it. That's what I do in that session.
How long does one session take?
So a session for me typically takes about average and 2 hours.
Four
Sometimes 1 hour.
legs.
It depends. Yeah. So okay, no, for squats, no, for legs about an hour.
Okay,
About an
because
hour.
it
About
sounded
so
really short, yeah.
yeah, it's not too long. Because I do my squats, so I do like, it depends. If it's like a volume session, it will take 45 minutes if it's volume, because I go for higher reps and I don't rest too long. If it's like heavies, then yeah, I mean same thing, about an hour, because I'll do like a heavy set of five and I'd have to rest like 3 to 5 minutes and do that again. So yeah, about an hour. I don't really spend a crazy amount of time on legs, but yeah, about an hour on legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then let's come to your like the whole schedule for the week, the whole
Oh yeah.
workout split. Do you
My week is, if people hear my week, they'll think, what the hell? But yeah,
want
my week, so literally, I'll start from Monday. So on Monday, that's my squat day, but I also planche on Monday as well. I train twice on Monday. I
Wow.
train twice. So I train my squats in the morning. I do Monday morning squats. Monday is like my kind of harder day on squats. So that can be like a heavy day. So like a heavy five sets of five or something, or three sets of, so like I start with, like, for example, like a five, heavy five for like 3 to 5 sets, and then do like three more back off sets on like three sets of eight, just to get some volume in and focus on technique. That's my squat day. And I now add in weighted pull-ups as well after my squats. So I do squats, then weighted pull-ups, and then I finish work, then I come home, and then I do my statics in the evening. So my statics on Mondays is normally Maltese and planche push-ups. So that's my Monday. So Monday is squats and planches. Tuesday, that's my bench press day and my front lever day. So I bench press on Tuesdays. Same thing, I've got a heavy bench press, or maybe some volume. It depends on what I'm doing in the week. It depends on my routine. But yeah, bench press on Mondays, sorry, Tuesdays, and weighted dips as an accessory after my bench press. And in the evening, I'll do front lever. So front lever holds and presses. That's what I'm focusing on at the moment. Just focusing on getting my front lever strong, because my planche is a bit better than my front lever. So I'm trying to get my front lever on point as well. So I just do, I work on front lever presses. So hold and press. I just work on that. And then maybe some dragon presses after that, maybe. Wednesday, that's my deadlift day. So Wednesday's a deadlift. Go for like heavy deadlifts on Wednesday. It depends on the week, because I go kind of like 2 weeks heavy, 1 week light. Because if I go heavy every week, then I'm going to end up burning myself out and hurting myself. So I go like a week. So every, so maybe 1 week heavy, 1 week light. It kind of varies of what I'm doing, what my goals are. But normally, like, it's a heavy deadlift day. And then in the evening, I do planches, but it's very light, like very light planches, like just maybe like fingertip floor planches, just something not to tax me too much, but just to kind of practice the skill. And Thursdays is my gymnastics day. So I go to the gymnastics center and we just focus. It's like an open session. So I'll do my flips. I'll do my flips first. So my tumbles, my tricking. And then that's like a full on static session after that. So it's more T's again, it's planche push-ups. It's just everything. It's like a whole full on static session. Because you know, when you train with your friends, it's like you've got 3 hours in the gym. So you guys just do whatever, just hype each other up and just literally you do a set, I'm gonna film you. You do another set, do a high bar set, do a floor set, like combos. It's more combos. So Thursday is like more of a combo day for me. So like, for example, planche, push up, press the handstand back down, just stuff like that. And Friday, I squat again on Friday, but it's not as heavy as Monday. Like Friday is more of like a volume technique day. And I bench press as well. So I squat and bench in one session. And in the evening, I actually rest my planche on Friday. I'll do some light front levers again, a front lever again on Friday. And then Saturday is my full on planche day, like a day committed for planche. Oh. And then Sunday is a front lever day. So I've got like a bit of a split, like a pull push kind of split, but I train every single day. It's 7 days a week I train. Oh. So it's quite a heavy schedule, especially now we're off lockdown. Because this whole year has been messed up because I the gyms were closed. So I didn't really get to lift weights much. So I focused purely on statics the past year. I did a bit of lifting, but it was here and there. I barely did it because gyms were closed. Every time the gyms opened, guess what? It opened for 2 weeks and we closed again. So it was very inconsistent. But now it's like, okay, we're fully back, hopefully. So for the past 6 weeks, I've been doing this schedule. People probably will ask me, how do you recover? How do you maintain? Basically, you see, like, okay, as an athlete, right? Like anything you do, whether you're a beginner or advanced athlete, you could be anyone. But when you first do your first week of training, for example, you do your first leg session, right? How do you feel after your leg session the first time? You can't walk. You can't walk for days. You do a first crazy plant session, you can't move your shoulders. However, when you carry on that program, after about 2 weeks, 4 weeks, you begin to not ache anymore. And that's when the training begins to start properly, because you can then increase the volume, increase the amount of times per week you train it. Like I can, like right now, I'm in my sixth week of this training program I'm doing, my own program of training every day. And I honestly do not get sore the next day. So I can do like a crazy leg session and my legs are fine the next day. I can do a crazy plant session, my shoulders are fine. So it's all about adapting to your program. Once you're able to recover, then that's when you can maintain everything easily as well. Because I find that, of course, if I do a crazy leg session, yeah, planche is going to be a bit hard because my legs are sore. They cramp up. However, it's about sticking to the program and adapting, recovering. And that just takes time. Like after like a week of training legs or 2 weeks, every session, the DOMS will get lighter. Eventually, DOMS will go away. Mm-hmm. So I kind of forced my body to get used to this program. And now it is. And now there's no issue at all on how to kind of mix everything up. Because at first, yeah, it does sound a bit tough. Like, how do you recover? How do you get time to recover? You just got to adapt. You got to force your body to adapt to your training. Obviously, you can make changes to kind of progress, but I'm keeping it like this for now anyway. Because I'm finding this is like, okay, this is perfect now. I train my planche on Monday, for example. Yeah, cool. Tuesday, like, yeah, I don't feel as... I feel fine. Like, I mean, people say, how do you planche on Monday and bench on Tuesday? That's because, well, like I said, I recover really good now. So I can... Because at first... I began everything slow. Like everything was just about movement. I didn't really, the first 2 weeks of this kind of program that I'm doing was just about not burning myself out. I kept my RPE 6 to 8. So I kept the training about 60 to 80%. I never really max out myself. I always like train and then that way I can train again the next day. I don't really like to train hard 3 times a week. I prefer to train a little bit, but every day, if that makes sense. I find that kind of, and it keeps you sensible, and you also do not get prone to injury as well. Because I find if you train hard too much, that's how you get tendonitis, you get injuries. So I kind of keep my training a bit smart in that sense, where I don't go crazy every single day. Of course, some days I go hard, but it's like I know if I go hard, then the next day it's like I'm doing something else anyway, so I can still recover from that. And then say, so Monday I go hard on squats, but then I can recover by Friday for the next squat session. And that's kind of how I program myself. So not maxing out too much. So right now I'm 6 weeks in. I can increase the volume a lot more. I can max out a little bit more, and I'll still be fine. Whereas if I did at the beginning, then yeah, I'd be screwed. So it's just about like it's like anything. You train and you move. Like even if I did like for example lunges, because I don't do lunges right now. But if I did lunges, yeah, my legs will be killing. But then if I did lunges for the next 1 month, my legs will be fine. So that's how you gotta take a training, just make your body to adapt. Like I guarantee if you ask any of the top planchers, they probably planch nearly every day. They probably planch like at least 5 times a week because they can. Whereas a beginner, they have to start light 3 times a week, or maybe a little bit every day, just a little bit, just to feel the movement. And eventually then you increase the volume as you adapt to the training. So that's how I see it, yeah.
Yeah. So in the beginning, when you start a new training schedule, you start at, I don't know, 50, 60% of power.
Yeah, about 40, 60%. So with me, it's all about going through the technique and the motions. And then each week I'll increase the RPE scale or the percentage anyway.
Because you see muscle, like a really bad muscle soreness the next day as something negative
Yeah.
because you can't continue to
Yeah,
train.
'cause when you're sore, it's just, I mean, you can still train, but it's not as comfortable to train. But I find that no matter, like, over time, that soreness will go away. And when that soreness goes away, then it makes life a lot easier. Like, remember when, because I didn't really bench press much before, but now I bench press. And I remember the first bench press day, my shoulders and chest were in pain. Like, and it just affects my planche the next day. Like, I can't planche properly. Or even 2 days after that, it's like I'm trying to planche and I've got DOMS in my shoulders and chest. So if you're trying something new, if you want to incorporate something, so if you just say, for example, if you just planche every day, whatever, but you want to start doing front levers, then front levers should start a bit. Either you separate the days, or you start off light in the front lever, and then slowly bring it up the volume every week or so. As your body gets stronger, it responds better to it, and then it can go harder. Like you probably will do like a session where you do like 3 sets of like a, I don't know, like a 3 sets of 10 seconds or I don't know. For example, 3 sets of 10 seconds, the first session that might mash you up. The week after, oh, maybe I can do another set now. And then the week after that, oh, I can do even more because your body doesn't, your body starts to, get used to it. So for me, it's all about adaptation, getting your body used to something. And then once it is used to something, you can then progress it and everything else at the same time.
Yeah, and you also said RPE and RIR are like two things that are oftenly used. Can you maybe explain these terms more for the people who don't know them?
Yeah, so basically that's like a scale where on how, so a scale of RP 1 to 10, that's how you feel doing the exercise. So say, for example, if you do an extremely heavy deadlift, that's going to be like an RP 8. If you go like a 1 rep max, that's a 10. And even like, for example, if you go for like a maximum planche hold, like that's going to be like an RP 10 or something. So basically what I do and what I get people to do as well is to avoid maxing out. So, for example, if my deadlift max, for instance, would be like 250 or something, that's like an RP 10, of course. But if I want to do that, if I want to deadlift that day, but focus on form, technique, and volume, then I'll scale it down to like RP 6, RP 4 to 6. So I'll go down to like 200, even less, like 180, and focus on just doing reps. And that way, it doesn't gas you out too much, and you can still live the next day. Because if you like, that's why I don't really max out too much in my training. Is if I max out next day, I can't next day, then your CNS is down. You can't do nothing the next day. So if you want to train frequently in the week, then sometimes it's better to kind of keep the RPE a bit lower. So you probably finish the session thinking I can do more, but save it for tomorrow or the next session. There's no reason to be burning up every session because you think, yeah, go hard to go home. That saying is long gone now because, yeah, you go hard to go home and then you're going to wake up next day with tendonitis and you're going to be screwed. So I always like, even my planche sessions, like I've got days where I go hard, but I can always planche at the end. But I still, yeah, I'm good. So hard planche session would be you can't planche, you can't do even a tuck planche afterwards. That's when you know you're messed up. But after that, you need to rest about a couple, you have to rest a few days. And obviously that's fine. I mean, if you want to go have like 3 hard days or 2 hard days in a week, that's up to you. But I prefer, for skill training, I think it's better for you to do it more frequently, but less intense. Because with skills, it's like a mind and body connection. So like I said, I train planche every day, most days, about 4 days, most days, that's just every day. But it's keeping RP 6 to 8 so I can carry on training the next day and focusing on like the technique and not burning myself out. Because when you burn yourself out, your tendons and joints will take a big hit, and that will take about a week or two to recover. And that's also how people get injured. So I try not to get myself injured by going too hard. So you've got to keep your training smart and not get too overexcited. So literally sometimes keep your sets up to 5, nothing more. 5 sets, for example, say your max planche is like, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds, 10 seconds. Then you will do 5 sets of like 6 to 8 seconds, something lower. So you can do sets of that. Rather than trying to do a max hold every set, you'd be guessing out each time, and then you're done for. You can't do nothing else after that. So I'd rather do like 3 sets of like a comfortable number, so I could focus on technique, volume, and not break myself down, and then go off and do like a regression and do the same kind of thing. And that way, it's like, okay, I feel good. Next day, you can do something similar again, or the day after that, and that way you won't feel too taxed. And that way you can include more volume in the week so you can spread the volume across the week rather than in one day. And I just find that, like, personally, I went through a stage where I was planching, like a few months ago, I was planching pretty much every day with the same principle. So every day I kept it 60 to 80%. And my seconds increased by a lot because my body just got so used to the planche. It just became a daily thing. And I literally just progressed a lot from doing that. Same thing for my front lever. I'm doing front lever more often now. And so less intense, but more often. And it just seems to feel better each time. Of course, I'm going to have a day or two in the future where I'll just do like a crazy planche session where I can't planche no more. But I just try to avoid that because I've done that before. One time I did like a crazy volume. I did like 10 seconds planche for 10 sets. I actually could have done more sets, but that was like literally 90% and my shoulders and everything was dead and I couldn't planche properly for the rest of the week. And for me, it's like, man, I just feel like I've lost gains in that week. You know, I mean, I'm not really a fan of resting. I prefer to, just like I said, spread the volume across the week and feel the movement each day or every other day. I find that you get more benefit from doing that, in my opinion anyway. It's kind of like what gymnasts do. It's a thing called greasing the groove, doing it bit by bit, but every day, but not maxing out. It's very popular in terms of skill training as well, in gymnastics, calisthenics. Gymnasts, they do that every single day. They train every day. Gymnasts train every single day. They'll do planching every day. They do their routine every day, but they do it so that way it's not maxing out every day. So a bit of the routine every day, and that way they can progress the routine rather than doing one crazy routine once a week. And it's like, yeah, you're going to get, I mean, by the time you recover, you're going to be good. But it's like your body hasn't felt the routine in so long. It's like you kind of forget it. So I always kind of like tell people to train their skills often, but not maxing out. But no, I don't feel like I got enough in the session. That's the whole point. It's about training smart, not hard. It's about stimulating your muscles, not annihilating them. So I always say, yeah, stimulate, don't annihilate. And feel the movement at least 4 or 5 times a week, if possible, if that's your goal. And I mean, for a lot of people, that works. But you have to kind of have that way. You, like, for a beginner, that wouldn't work because they're going to get crazy muscle soreness. But a month in from their training, they can start doing that, I recommend. Like, after a month of training a planche, you should be able to recover faster. That way you can do it more often in the week. So that's one thing I say to everyone, try to train it often, but do not tax yourself too much. Hope that makes sense.
Definitely. It's a lot of input, but I think it's really, really valuable and definitely something that I see a lot. And like, not only beginners make these mistakes, and also myself, when I only have like 2 or 3 days in a week, yeah, where I am allowed, or like where I have the time to train, yeah, so I go 100%, but then like the muscle pain is unreal.
Yeah.
And so it feels the same that the progress is going away even through these sessions.
Yeah, exactly. That's Grease and Groove is definitely, I recommend that method of training for sure.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode. The second part will be uploaded on June 3rd, so exactly 1 week after this upload. Keep growing and see you in the next episode, guys.